Hey, and thank you for tuning in to the Learn to Code With Me podcast. In this episode, you're going to get an inside look at what it's like to freelance for a living, how to land your first freelance clients, and how to price your services. That's all coming up after a quick word about our special partner just for this episode, SkillCrush. SkillCrush is an online coding school that helps people reinvent their career. And they offer a completely free 10-day prep course that is perfect for anyone just getting started. Inside this totally free program, they'll walk you through everything you need to know to get started in tech, from industry jargon to the different career paths that you can pursue. Sign up for SkillCrush's free bootcamp at learntocodewith.me/crush. Hey, listeners. In today's episode, I talk with Sarah Greer. Sarah's a homeschooling mom of four by day and a freelance web developer by night. After being a stay-at-home mom for about a decade, she decided that she wanted to do something for herself. So Sarah took a SkillCrush course and jumped right into freelancing. I know that so many of you are career changers or searching for which career path is right for you. And I hope that you find Sarah's story inspiring. In our conversation, we talk about how Sarah got into tech, what it's like to freelance, how she landed her first clients, what she wishes she knew when she first got started, and a lot more. If you want to switch careers or start freelancing, this episode is for you. Enjoy. Hey, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to chat with you today. But first, can you tell the audience just a bit about yourself, especially what you were doing before you became a freelance web developer?
Sure. I am a homeschooling mom. I have four kids, and I am a freelance developer. But before that, I was just a stay-at-home mom, raising the kids, homeschooling them, because I was working in customer service for an internet service provider, and I got laid off in 2004. So I just decided to stay home with the kids and do that kind of thing.
Awesome. And what led you to become interested in freelancing?
I wanted to do something for me. I was doing, I hadn't really not worked my entire life. So I had been staying at home for about 10 years and just sort of felt like I had just become the stay-at-home mom and I wanted to do something else for me. And I started to get into podcasts, and I heard one that was talking about the need for women in tech, and I started to look into that a little bit more. And it turned out that I had some of the skills already to learn to know how to build websites. So I did a few online refresher courses, and it turns out that not a lot of the core concepts had even changed. And so I really enjoyed building websites and decided I'm going to get into this more. I'm going to learn what's new and figure out how to do this and make this something that can be just for me.
So I love that. That was actually kind of not exactly how I got into tech at all, but a very similar way though of Googling and being like, oh my gosh, for me, I was like, what am I doing with my life? I feel really lost. What I thought I was going to do is not what I thought was going to be. So I began Googling. I wasn't listening to podcasts at the time. I don't even know if I knew podcasts really existed. This was in like 2012 or something. And I ended up coming across articles that were like, shortage of women in tech, shortage of tech jobs, shortage of people with these skills, and, you know, sort of one thing led to another. And that's how I ended up getting here. So anyway, back to your story, though. You were, you know, looking online or listening to podcasts, and you kind of made this connection and realized you had a lot of these skills already, the core concepts. What was your move after that? Like, cause I feel like there's like such this gap between like knowing what you want to do or knowing you want to freelance and then, you know, getting your first client.
Yeah. What I did was the podcast that was talking about women needed in tech was actually a interview with, Ada from SkillCrush. And so I was like, I gotta figure out what this is all about. Like, she sounds so hip and cool, and like she's got this new company and it's just for women learning how to code. And I thought, I've got to learn more about this. So that was really where I went. I went there and they have a boot camp, and I did that. And then I looked at Codecademy and things like that. But I was looking at the time they just had regular courses, and I was really interested in seeing what I could still do. So I really got into signing up for a couple of those introductory courses over there and took those. And then when the first blueprints came out, because I knew a little HTML and I knew a little CSS, but when the first blueprints came out and included JavaScript, I was like, that's the next thing. That's the thing I've got to know now, because that's what makes everything move. And so that was where I jumped in with Skillcrush and learned a lot more through the blueprints and made a lot of connections there.
Yeah, that's great. And you must have been a really early customer, because I feel like they've had blueprints for a while now.
Yeah, I think I signed up on the very first blueprint that was available. I think I was going to sign up for the JavaScript class anyway. But then when the blueprints came out, it was perfect because it's 3 months and you just learn at your own pace. But you're pushing yourself to get through each month so that you're ready for the next month. And it's just a really good way to keep you on track for where you want to be.
Mm-hmm. So when did you start getting your first clients then? Or like, what was your first foray with freelancing?
Okay, so I hadn't even finished the blueprints, but I was telling all of my friends, hey, I'm doing this thing. And I had one friend who said, well, I actually know this guy. He's got this local business and he wants a website, but he doesn't know anything about it. And I was like, okay, let's just do that. Let's hook up with this guy. And so I ended up building his website. But then also I had a fellow student in the class, and she had landed a job doing a web page, a landing page for a client. And she contacted me and she's like, I don't feel comfortable with this JavaScript stuff. Can you do that part? And I was like, absolutely, which is hilarious because I was still learning it at the time. But I just knew that I could do it, or I knew that I could learn what I needed to know to be able to do it. So I just said yes. And that's how that started.
I love that, because so many people that I talk to on the show, whether it's getting a client or getting their first job, they kind of fake it till they make it.
Yeah.
And I love that mentality. I love that attitude and, saying yes to things, even though you don't totally feel ready. Because I think that the reality is, like, you're never going to feel ready, right? Like, if you wait to feel ready to do things, at least for me, like, I'll be waiting forever, because there's so many times I'm just getting pushed into sort of doing something, whether I'm pushing myself or people around me, pushed in a good way. And I'm like, yeah, if I didn't take that leap, I probably never would have.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I've never, ever worked on a project where I knew everything going in. There's always been some new thing that I've never heard of, never done before, never had to code, that you just have to figure it out as I go along.
Yeah, I love that. So after this, these early on experiences and where you are today, I want to just get some context, like, for myself and the listener. So how long have you been freelancing now?
Let's see. I really did start in January of 2014. So this will be coming up on 5 years, I guess.
Wow. Okay. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you're based out of?
It's north of Atlanta, Georgia. So kind of live out in the suburbs outside the city.
Okay, cool. And you work entirely remote, right?
Yeah, I do work entirely remote. I've had clients in New Jersey and New York and really anywhere along the East Coast. And only because we're in the same time zone. I'm not opposed to working with people anywhere else. I work with anybody, but it's usually easier to work with people in the same time zone.
Yeah, definitely. So today, 5 years later, since you first started, what kind of freelance work are you doing now?
Right now, I've really kind of honed it into just doing the code. I'll never say no to things if somebody doesn't have their design totally worked out, or if they need some help with content. Those are the kinds of things that I can give them a hand with. But I prefer to let those professionals handle those aspects, because it's not really my expertise and it's not the part that I love the best. So at this point, I really just try to hook up with either designers who need someone to code their design, or I've actually had a lot of small business owners who know exactly what they want it to look like. They just don't have anybody to make that reality. So that's what I really like to do at this point, is code those designs.
And the kind of websites that you're making, are they like WordPress or using another CMS, or is it like custom? So just like, you know, HTML, CSS, JavaScript?
Yeah, there, it's actually, it just depends on the client. I do prefer to code from scratch. And when I say that, I've actually built several of my own templates and I just start from that. But I've worked in WordPress. It's interesting. I've never built a site from scratch. I mean, from the beginning in WordPress. I've always gone into a WordPress site with somebody who's already got one set up, and then they want to make changes or something didn't get done right. And they ask me and I go in there and I try to fix it, which I find really funny considering I've never actually started from the beginning to build a website in WordPress. I've built several in Squarespace, which is a really kind of neat and fun little way to get started on the web pretty inexpensively. However, it doesn't have a lot of It doesn't have a lot of the ability to make a lot of changes. They're very structured. So I do like to code on my own the most because I can pretty much, I mean, the sky's the limit. You can do whatever you want. So those are the clients and those are the customers that I prefer to work with, are the ones that, you know, just have an idea in mind and then I can run with it from there.
And today, like, how are you getting clients? Is it still mostly word of mouth referrals, or are there other ways that you're getting new clients?
I actually get clients through referrals from previous clients. So it's about 50% that way. And then the other is, it's interesting. I have some filters that I've set up for Craigslist, and I get notifications when different kinds of jobs get posted on Craigslist all over the East Coast. Like I said, I've set them up in different markets and I just watch them come in and I see if it's the kind of thing I might be interested in doing. And then I answer the ad and, you know, most of the time these people get so many responses that yours just gets lost. But every once in a while I get a response and I've gotten several clients that way and then referrals from them. So it just kind of snowballs from there.
Ooh, I absolutely love that you mentioned Craigslist, because my first job I ever got in tech, and I used jobs with like a job with air quotes because it wasn't like a sexy tech job that someone could be thinking of. It was like working on a website project back when I was living in Pennsylvania in more or less a basement with several other people. But I got it on Craigslist and it was amazing how that little job ended up leading to all these other opportunities down the line, how it like really snowballed into other things. So I'm a huge fan of Craigslist. And I never heard that little suggestion that you gave. So I'm really glad that you shared it. So basically you have like notifications set up when certain ads are posted, like in the gigs area or something where they're looking for a website developer and you get an email or what have you.
Yeah. I've used, IFTTT, if this, then that. And you just go in there and it has a Craigslist option and you put in the search result that you're, the URL for the search result that you want. And it just sends you notifications every time something matches that search result. So it's a really good way to get things because they just come to you automatically and then you just respond to them. You know, you shouldn't think that you're going to get a response for everything. The response rate is fairly low, but if you've gotten a response, then you're probably going to have a conversation with that person. And those tend to go, you know, pretty well, because even if you don't land that particular job, they know you, they've remembered you. I've gotten people call me or come back to me. Well, that project didn't work out, but here's this other one I have, and I'd like to work with you this time. So.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I'm sure like other people listening to this episode right now, especially if they've been in tech in one way or another for some time, can relate to this. Like I don't freelance anymore. I used to build websites, but I haven't done that for a while for clients. But I still do maintain like some people in my family and I have them like on my server and I'll go in and do little website updates. But I'll get messages from people on LinkedIn I haven't spoken to in years, like old friends of friends or something, asking me if I can build them a website or if I know someone, because they're just they can't find someone to build a website for them, and they've been like looking and searching and it's just not working out, or they had a bad experience maybe with someone they hired online that it didn't just go well. And they, as you said, they need someone to like, kind of go in and fix it. So I feel like there's just such demand out there for people that like these small business owners that need websites built, and maybe they just maybe don't always know where to look. Cause I'm just so shocked when they're coming to me. We haven't spoken for years. I'm like, wow, they must really be in need of someone if they're coming to me and I haven't spoken to them in 10 years. Right. I think the word of mouth referrals is, I have friends who freelance, and that's like basically what their business is just built on. Like they just get referrals from friends, from families, from past clients. And that's kind of how they keep trekking along.
Yeah. It's really powerful, that word of mouth. It's because you trust who your friends and your family say is good. I mean, isn't that how we pick our plumbers and we're how we go to Amazon and we pick our, you know, the products that we want, because we're basing it on the reviews. So those kinds of things really do matter.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about your day-to-day, because I believe, as you mentioned earlier in the conversation, you homeschool your children during the day, and then you also work. So like, what does your day-to-day look like?
It's pretty packed. So we're not really a morning family. We're more night owls. And so we have a really lazy, laid back kind of morning. And then around lunchtime, we'll get started with our school stuff. Homeschooling in Georgia is required to do 3.5 hours a day on average for 180 days. However, we homeschool year round. So I'm not so much worried about how many specific hours we're getting in a particular day, because we're going way over the 180 days. And so basically what we do is, ease into things. We do a lot of reading. I have one who's graduating this year, so he's almost done. And then three girls, I have a sixth grader, a seventh grader, and then I have actually one that hasn't started yet. So, the age range is really, really wide, but that is really good because the senior is pretty much doing it all on his own. He doesn't need me. He's got his curriculum and he knows what he's doing to get through. The two in the middle are also pretty self-sufficient, so they can also kind of work on their own and work with their younger sister if I need them to. But it gives me an opportunity to focus on the littlest one and, you know, the beginnings of getting ready to homeschool and sit down. And then we're usually done around between four and five. We get a little bit of dinner, and then it's kind of a swap with my husband. He also works from home, but he's off by then. And then I just go and I get my work done, and I take a break in the middle and get some exercise in, because otherwise it would never happen. And then I work until the wee hours of the morning. And it all starts over again like that.
Sit tight, podcast listeners. We're taking a quick break to hear a word from our special partner just for this episode, Skillcrush. If Sarah's story is inspiring you and you'd like to kickstart your own career in tech, you'll definitely want to sign up for Skillcrush's free 10-day bootcamp. Their bootcamp is a totally beginner-friendly introduction to tech and tech careers. In just 5 minutes a day, you'll learn how to talk like a techie, what a career in tech really looks like, and the best way to get the skills you need fast. The course covers everything a newbie needs to know, like the difference between the internet and the web, HTML, CSS, JavaScript, front-end versus back-end, frameworks, databases, and so much more. If you want to get into the tech industry, Skillcrush's free bootcamp is an absolute no-brainer. Go to learntocodewith.me/crush now to sign up. Oh, and just by signing up for their free program, you'll also get an exclusive $300 off their signature Break into Tech blueprint. It's worth signing up for the free bootcamp just for that discount, if you ask me. Again, go to learntocodewith.me/crush to enroll in their free program now. I love that you say that you're saying this right now, because, and you know, everyone has different preferences. This is not to say anything bad about morning people, but I'm totally a night owl. But I've had people on the show who are like, you know, I start every day at 5:30 and my heart is just like, you know, beating really fast. I'm like, oh God, are they going to find out that I like wake up every day at like 9? Or even sometimes later, sometimes earlier, but sometimes later. Like I can definitely sleep in until like noon on a weekend without problem. So that makes me feel better. And I tend to work pretty late until the night, even though I feel like it could be a bad habit for me because I'm very wired after that. It takes me a while to go to bed. But it's just amazing. I feel like I have this newfound motivation like when it becomes like 9-10 o'clock at night.
Oh, absolutely. Like nothing is really happening before the evening because I don't know. It's just something about the way my brain works. And then I even have to take a break. Like I can get started for a little while, but I have to take a break and get things revved up again. And then I'm good to go for another 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. I'm curious, like, what your kind of like setup is. Like, do you have like an office where you do your work that's separate from like the homeschool area? Or like, yeah, like how does that all work?
No, that's kind of interesting. My husband has a home office, but I don't. I have, I don't know. I just usually hang out either in the living room. I have a really amazing ability to ignore everything that's going on around me when I'm focused. So I really get into the zone and, you know, short of an actual emergency, I can work right out in the middle of everything, or sometimes I'll just hang out in my room and in the bedroom and do it in there. But I just have, I don't know, some sort of superpower to ignore everyone when needed.
Well, that's great. I was just wondering if, like, so I live in New York City, and if you have like a home office, you're like, you know, a billionaire, so you probably don't even need to. No, kidding. Like, it's just like not really. I mean, I know there are people in New York who will get a 2-bedroom and make the one their office or something, but I certainly do not have a private office. And yeah, when I work at home, I'm working all over the house, whether it's the couch or the dining room table, usually the dining room table. But yeah, I feel like at night for me, during the day, I can be very distracted by things around the house, like tidying up or what have you. But at night, it's like I can focus better at home at night, which is kind of odd. But yeah, anyhow, so when you first started freelancing, I'd love to know, since you've been doing that for about 5 years, is there anything that you wish you knew back then that you know now?
Oh, yeah, so many things, but I'll just pick one. Clients, they all think they know exactly what they want and exactly what they need. They do have a pretty good idea of what they want and what they need, but they don't know how to say what they want. And so you really have to talk to somebody and get in there. And once you've got them on the phone and talking to them, you have like follow-up questions are so majorly important. So that's basically what I wish I had known at the time, because at the time I'd write down what they said and I would do that. And then of course there would be a lot of scope creep because they didn't actually know exactly what they wanted. And I wasn't picking up on it because I wasn't talking to them enough. And so now my favorite question in the whole world is, tell me more about that, because they're going to, you know, they're going to tell me what they want. And then I'm going to say, okay, well, that's really interesting. You said you wanted these colors because you love nature. Tell me more about that. And then it just goes from there, because it turns out that they don't really love nature or that color scheme for their website. They just don't know what colors they want, and they're not entirely sure what message they're trying to send or that kind of thing. So that's the most important thing that I've learned over the 5 years, is that they know what they want, but they don't know how to tell you what they want. So you've got to make sure that you ask follow-up probing questions.
So when you start a new project, do you have, like at this point in time, is it very structured, like the process you follow from start to finish with a new client?
It should be. It should be, but it isn't. I've tried to set up some schedules and stuff for me, but I find that I just work better when I can go with whatever I feel motivated to do at the time. So sometimes I'll start coding the contact information or form or whatever, and then I'll go back and do the landing or something like that. So I don't really have a structure that I follow unless there's something specific that the client wants to see right away. And in terms of like how my day goes, I'm usually juggling two or three projects at a time. And so I'll try to make sure that I focus on the one that is due first. But a lot of times these things, at least in my experience, they end up being up in the air. There's soft due dates as opposed to hard due dates. And so then sometimes I just focus on the ones that are inspiring to me. And then that helps me get motivated to keep coding, to work on the ones that are a little bit more rote that I've been doing for a long time.
That's really interesting. So you work on 2 to 3 projects at a time. Did you find that was like a good balance for you? Like, was there ever a time you did more and you just found it was like too much going on at once? Like, is there a reason for that number?
No, there's not really a reason. I don't think I can really juggle more than that at a specific time because of everything else that I've got going on. And I really prefer to do one project at a time, but they almost never come in that way. It's feast or famine. Because what happens is I get the Craigslist things and I get the referrals from people, but what happens is they'll be, when I should be sending out inquiries about new work, I'm not, because I'm working on something and I don't want them to say yes, and then I end up with too many. And so that's something I'm still working on, trying to find that balance of how to bring in new work while I'm currently working that does not end up overwhelming everything. And so what happens is I work on a few and then I wait and I find a few more and then I work. So they come in clusters like that.
Awesome. So another question I know a ton of people struggle with when they first start out freelancing is knowing what to charge. So over the years, how like has that changed? Like what have you used to determine how to price like a project?
At first, we just sort of went with industry standard. The first project that I worked with, when we did the landing page, we were just like, what do most people charge? And we did that. And we were so excited when the client said yes. We were like, oh my God, we are real freelancers. But over time, I've learned how to work within what people's budgets are. And so some people really want to pay you by the hour, and I have an hourly rate. Some people would prefer to pay by the project, but then we have to really set the scope of the project so that there's not scope creep. Some people, I've even done work for barter, where I've gotten services from them in exchange for building their website. I've even done some pro bono stuff where I've volunteered my services because I wanted to add this particular project to my portfolio, but they didn't have a budget, but I really felt strongly about what they were doing and I wanted to be a part of that. So it is very difficult to figure out what to bill, what to charge. And I think it's a really difficult question to answer because a lot of times, if you're trying to charge $50 an hour, people are going to look at that number and they're not going to see why that number is of value. And you don't have time to explain to them, well, I'm freelancing. I have to pay for my own taxes. I have to pay for my own insurance. The clients don't, you know, they're not really interested in all that. They just see this number and they don't like it. So what I've tried to do with those questions when I'm, you know, getting more information, really digging in, tell me more about that, is I've really tried to make sure that when I send them a proposal, I've detailed out exactly what they've needed and what they've said to me, but they didn't realize they said to me. And when they can see that I've really pulled out the essence of what they're trying to do, they can see more value in that because they recognize that I've seen things that they didn't even know were there.
Ooh, that's a very good tip. So you really listen when you have that like intro call or discovery call, whatever you call it. And when you send them the proposal, very detailed, exactly what you're going to do, exactly what they said, capturing the essence, and then you put like the number behind it, and then it probably makes them feel like better about it because it is just like so informative and detailed.
Right. Yeah. If you just sent somebody a proposal and said, I'm going to build your website and it's going to cost $2,000. They're like, why? Why? That doesn't make any sense. But if you've detailed exactly all the different steps that you're going to be going through and how you're going to be keeping them in the loop or the process that you're going to be going through, and like I said, if you've pulled out details that they didn't even realize that they dropped to you, but you explain them, then they, it's, I don't know, it's like you've just, you've gotten them so well that they're like, I trust you. Let's do this.
Awesome. So do you have any clients, or actually, let me rephrase this. So when you're done with a project, are you done? Do you kind of shut the door, or do you, or you not shut the door? That's an aggressive term. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's end. Okay. Goodbye. Let's go our separate ways. Or do you like stay on to do maintenance? Like, do you, this is like five questions. I apologize, but do you also like host their sites on your own server and charge for that? Or do you do it on their own? Like, how does that all work?
At this point, I have not done any of my own hosting. So what I do is when the project ends, I keep up with them. I will check back in with them and see if there's anything to follow up over the next couple of weeks. But I have had so many clients who either want me to teach them how to maintain their website on their own, and then will come back to me every once in a while and say, hey, I did this thing and I don't know if I did it right, or hey, I decided that I needed to add another page, but I need you to do it because I don't have the time. So even when you've taught them how to do things, they still come back. And then I've had clients that just rely on me. They will contact me and let me know, hey, we're about to make this change and we'd like you to be a part of that. Then I've had some clients I've never heard from again. You know, I try not to reach out too much because I don't want them to feel like I'm pestering them. But I try to reach out maybe once a year and see if everything's working the way it should be, and keep going from there. I have thought about hosting on my own server though before. I just don't exactly know how that would work, but it sounds so intriguing because then it's definitely staying in house. So that's really a good idea.
Yeah. I only host a few other people's sites on my server. It's all like close family. I feel like, and I know other freelancers who've done it and have been able to actually make a good amount of money, because you can like, I'm not saying this in a slimy way, but like you can have this like ongoing fee for like the server, and like say if you also help manage your site domain and maybe like some of the other domain records, like for email or whatever, you could definitely keep charging them like the clients, like, you know, an ongoing fee, because you are paying for that and you can sometimes make some extra money just from that because of, you know, the way it all works. But I had an experience last year, don't get into too much detail about it, but where one of the sites on my server got hacked and then all of the sites were down.
Oh no.
Fixed now. Yes, it was totally my fault. It was my fault because it was a very outdated WordPress and I was just lazy. And it was on like, again, not one of my own sites, someone else's site. And I just like didn't go and update it. So it was negligent on my part. I've put in new measures since then, so this doesn't happen again. But yeah, in a situation like that, I'm like, you know, shaking my hands like, oh my God, it's because of this site that I forgot about that I'm still hosting for someone, just like as a favor. But yeah, I think if done right, it could definitely be good. As you said, it would keep it all in-house then. And I think also a lot of people have issues or just don't know how to set up their own server or like their own domain name and all the work that goes into it. So it's something just like setting that up for them is another thing you could do for them as part of like, you know, a package or what have you.
Yeah.
Yes. But I really want to get into another one of the last questions I have for you. And it's, what advice do you have for others listening who want to start freelancing, but they haven't started yet?
I would say yes. That's like my number one piece of advice. Like I said earlier, there's absolutely nothing I've done that I knew every single part of. But if I had waited until I knew everything, then I would have never said yes. And I never would have had a project. And you have to be able to say yes, and you're going to make mistakes. You are absolutely going to make mistakes, but just own them. I've never had a client who completely dropped me because I made a mistake when I went, you know, to them and I said, oh my gosh, I did this. I had a client once where I don't even know how I did it, to be honest. I made a change in one of the files on the website and the whole website just crashed. And this was his bread and butter. It was all he had, and that was how he made his money, and the whole thing was down, and all 70 plus pages of it. And it was really hard to figure out what I had done. And it was down for about 24 hours. But I did. I figured it out. And, you know, he's still a client. He comes back to me all the time. And we work through things and we get things done. And I know that, you know, if I was making mistakes all the time, that would be different. But because I made that one and because I immediately caught it and went to him and said, I did this, but I don't know what I did, but I'm going to figure it out. Even though it took 24 hours, it was still, he still had confidence in me and he still comes to me and we still work together.
Awesome. I love that advice. And finally, where can people find you online, Sarah?
Well, there's my website. It's codegreer.com. And I'm also on Twitter. I have at codegreer, or my Facebook is Facebook.com/codegreer. However, I don't spend a lot of time on social media. It kind of comes in spurts. So definitely reach out. Definitely, if you have a question, reach out there. But it's not where I'm, you know, most active. It's just one more thing I don't really have time for during the day, although I really wish I did because I love Twitter and I love Facebook and I love talking to people. Or, you know, just email me. There's plenty of ways to contact me through the website if you want to get in touch.
Awesome. Thank you again for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been awesome.
Thank you for tuning in today. You can find the show notes for this episode and all other episodes at learntocodewith.me/podcast. One last thing. I wanted to remind you about SkillCrush's free 10-day bootcamp. If you're new to the world of tech and you'd like to fast-track yourself through the basics, sign up for their bootcamp at learntocodewith.me/crush. It'll take you through everything you need to know to get started in just 5 minutes a day. Okay, that's all for today. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time.